Once we become a Christian, we have merely been born again. We're like a little babe. We've just gotten our eyes open to the things of God. It is with a little babe, the longer the little babe lives, the more it learns, the more strength it gains. And of course, the more it accumulates and the more worldly wealth that it has as to its potion, as to enjoy the things of life. And if it's cut off at an early age, it doesn't get to enjoy very much. So 60-fold, 30-fold, 100-fold, let us go on to a full reward, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For God has in Christ Jesus given us all things that pertain unto life, and it's up to us to have those things. I so often, frequently, I say, God having brought about 3 million people out of Egypt, he said, and if you will keep my commandments, and if you will do the things that I ask you to do, if you'll not transgress these things that I told you to do, I'll move sickness from out from the midst of you. And 3 million people he brought from Egypt to Canaan. Their feet didn't swell. They never were without food. God took care of them. All the wonderful things that could be done to them, God did that to them. And he said, you do the things that please me, and I'll move sickness out of the midst of you, and I'll not allow these things to come upon you that came upon the Egyptians. He said, I'll not bring these things upon you. And the original text to the Hebrews says, I'll not allow them to come upon you. And then we come over to the New Testament, and it's so much different. He said to Israel, I will not allow these things to come upon you. And then we come over to the New Testament. And he says to you and I, now then, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And you go forth now, and you don't allow none of these things to come upon you. Let's give the Lord a hand. You've got power over him now. You just take care of yourself. Go right on and do the things that I want you to do. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So it's always good to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because the more we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the more powerful we are in Christ. And the more powerful we are in Christ, the more that we have of his riches, his treasures, his power, and the more that we're able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Whereas the Bible uses the term, put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand or withstand the wiles of the devil. And this is, of course, what we want to do. Is put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, taking the shield of faith, letting our loins be girt about with the truth, and also our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. These things the Lord wants us to do as we take the sword of the Spirit, that we might withstand Satan and have these wonderful blessings of the Lord. Let's read from chapter 4 in the book of St. John. And of course, when we read, I don't ever know what we're going to say, where we're going to go to. Let's start the first verse of chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heaven of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then we find over here, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. He says, in the 10th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. If you'll notice, there's quite a number of things here that's really exciting when you are looking for the real thing. One thing is that Jesus is communicating with a master of Israel, Nicodemus, who came to him by night being afraid of the Jews, asking him certain things. And Jesus told him, said, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? And he said, no man has ascended into heaven. And at that time, no man had. He said, except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And then to Nicodemus' amazement, he looked at him and said, who is in heaven? So here's a man standing on the face of the earth, a man, just like I'm a man that had blood in his veins, a man that you could kill, a man that had to breathe, a man that was born of a woman, made under the law. And here was a man, and what a man. And here was a man saying, I am in heaven while I'm talking to you, Nicodemus. And that's why I said, Sister Winnie, she never really went anywhere. You know, she just pulled off the old dirty garment. And there she was where she's always been since she's been born again. For when your spirit is born again, it is translated into the spirit of Christ, which is heaven. And immediately from that time on, you are in heaven. And you are without spot, and you are without wrinkle, and you are without blemish. And you never can sin, never, never, never anymore. So, It's like Jesus said concerning the little children, when they forbid the little children to come unto them, he said, don't do that. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Or that is to say, these little children's spirit has never come to an age of accountability, and where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. Therefore, never having come to the knowledge of sin, their little spirit is still safe in glory. And should their little spirit depart their tabernacle, they'd be safe with God. No need for a born-again experience. They have never gone out into the world of sin. Therefore, it is not required of them as to the new birth. Now, so then here he said, Nicodemus, no man is gone into heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. In that he was innocent like the little child. He had never sinned, never one time transgressed the Heavenly Father's way of life. And there he stood perfect, as it was said in Herod's judgment hall, I find no fault in this just man. And the Bible said he's our example, we should follow in his step. There was no guile found in his mouth, neither did he sin at any time. We should follow in his steps, and wherever he is, there we should be, and we should do exactly the way that he did, for he was our example. But said there's a problem. Jesus told Nicodemus, said there's a problem. And that problem is that light is coming to the world. He said, for I am that light. I am that light. I am the light of the world. And I've come into the world as a knowledge, as an understanding, as to make sin known and to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And now people are in trouble, because from now on they're going to know what's right and what's wrong. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's why Paul said, I was alive without the law. When the law came, sin revived and I died. And that which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. So that is to say, the law which is just and holy and good came to me, and I who am carnal, sold unto sin. Because of being a descendant of Adam, he said, then the law came and Satan took occasion by the law, or sin took occasion by the law, and it rose up and slew me. Because it brought to me the knowledge of right and wrong. And before this, I was alive by the grace of God. Though I was guilty of the wrong, yet I was alive, because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin's not imputed. But then when the knowledge of sin came, he said, then I was guilty, because I could not perform the righteousness of the law. Therefore, by the law shall no flesh be justified. Then it became necessary, he said, for the Lord Jesus to perform every jot and tittle of the righteousness of the law. And then that God should give me the benefits of his works, that I should be guiltless in the sight of God. And that this spirit of the law, which is Christ, should live on the inside of me and fulfill the righteousness of God within my heart. And that his righteousness should be counted unto me as life, while my sin, as he took it within the body, should be counted unto him as to death. And he that knew no sin was made my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Or he was delivered for my offenses as to the body, while I, him being raised again, I as to that one raised again in the spirit, is now alive forevermore. So here I am in the presence of God. And Jesus said, I who am in heaven, there is now this condemnation. Not that I will accuse you before the Heavenly Father. You have one that will accuse you, even Moses, in whom you trust, or the word that I speak. The same shall accuse you in the last day. Now, so he said, this is the condemnation that is coming to the world as to light that is in the world. Now you know right from wrong, but you don't want to do right. He said, you don't want to do right. Though you know right, he said, you don't want to do right. He said, you love the wages of unrighteousness. Like the Bible said concerning Balaam, he was very religious. He had a gift in his life. But the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness, was rebuked for his iniquity, and later God had him killed. So then, you don't want to do right. He said, you don't love righteousness. So this is the thing that will condemn you at the judgment, is that you knew to do right and you didn't want to do right. And that's the condemnation that shall face you in the day of judgment, that light is coming to the world and you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. Oh, that is, you lack the old carnal mind and the carnal way of life. For the Bible says, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life. And then, of course, when Jesus met the woman at the well, here, as I've said before, Jesus was a young man and her a young woman, and apparently a harlot, or she was a woman that was an adulterer and wanting to flirt around with Jesus as a young man. When he said, "Call your husband," she said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus knew she was lying, you know, and yet he said, "You've had five of them, and the one you've got now is not your husband." And it just tore her up. She said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And then she got serious about things, and she realized that she was playing with the wrong person. So this is what Jesus told her. Said, "Woman, you're talking about worshiping God." Said, "You don't even know how to worship God." Said, "Salvation is of the Jews." Said, "You don't know how to worship God. You're talking about Jacob being your father and giving you this place here at this well to worship. And over here on the mountain, these kind of things." He said, "The hour has come." That is, "I'm here now," Jesus said. "And the Holy Spirit is here now." And said, "The hour is come." Said, "Now is that the real true worshipers are going to begin to follow after the great Holy Spirit. And they're going to worship God in spirit or in truth. Or that is, I'm going to die for the remission of sin. And they that really believe, the great, wonderful Holy Spirit is going to come into their heart. And their heart is going to be interwoven with God. And God's spirit interwoven with their spirit. And they're going to worship God in spirit. Their spirit is going to serve God and love the Lord. For the Bible said God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf." So this really shocked the woman. She went away and said, "This is the Messiah." She said, "I know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things." Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he." All right, so then everything here that is being said obviously points to the Spirit. This is the amazing thing. Everything that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, everything Jesus is saying concerning the world falling into this condemnation, everything that he's saying to this woman points to the Spirit. And this is why that we come to you preaching the wonderful Word of God. For the Bible said, "The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive." When it says, "The letter killeth," I know we got people running through the world. I've met them, and I'm sure you've met them. You know, they say, "Well, we shout and we dance and we holler and we do all these things." And say, "Well, why do you do that? Why don't you listen to the word of the Lord?" And they'll tell you in a minute, they'll say, "Oh, the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh us alive." And they jump in and holler and do all kinds of things. But see, that is a misunderstanding. Satan is taking advantage of their ignorance because they don't want to know the truth. Satan's got their bodies and that exuberance of showing out in the body, wanting attention and doing these things and not going on with Christ is no more than being at a ball game, hollering and going on there. See, even though the rain is upon the just and the unjust, and the rain is upon the tear, and naturally when the rain comes, the wind blows and the sunshine comes and all these things, and the little tear, it does cut up, you know, just like the wheat. But that doesn't mean that it has the heart of the wheat. That doesn't mean that the harvest of that tear will be the same as the wheat. It's not the way you act during your lifetime as to this thing that looks religious, but it's according to the harvest and to whether or not you're going to be what God has planted you as, the seed of goodness. So, or as a tare, as to the foreknowledge of God. So here we see the whole thing is a spiritual thing. God hath you ordained to a spiritual thing. And when he said, "The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive," he was saying that the law, which is the letter, why then serve the letter of the law? No man can be justified by the law of the letter. For I was alive without the law of the letter as to the law. But when the law of the letter came, sin revived and I died. And that which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. Because though it's spiritual and holy, yet sin taking occasion by it, bringing to me my weaknesses and my shortcomings, brought condemnation into my heart and killed my faith. And therefore, I'm afraid of God. I have no confidence with God. God is a terror to me. I know that God is a judgment to me because Satan is always pounding and threatening me and telling me I'm going to hell, I'm shortcoming, and that I can't do right, and I'm never right, and I always feel this thing that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's a suppression of mine. And I feel, as the songwriter says, do unholy feelings, struggle in your breast, bring your case to Jesus, and He will give you rest. So then in this, the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. What is the difference? Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. So then when we come to you, it is not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking. For God is within His temple, whose temple ye are. And let every man keep silent, because it is God that's speaking unto you. And it is the Word of God, and it is the words of spirit, and it is the words of life. This is the words of eternal life. To believe, for faith cometh by the hearing of the Word, the spiritual Word of God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So then Jesus is telling this woman that this is a spiritual thing. We are spiritual people. We get tired in the body, but we do not get tired in the spirit. Even though we're faint, as we would say in the spirit, as it was with Esau when he sold his birthright, he said, I'm faint, you know, and what good will the birthright do me? I need this worldly blessing as to this pottage to keep me alive. Just give me something for the belly. See, but the thing is, we're not really weary in spirit because we have Christ. We renew ourselves like the eagle. We renew our youth. And we have a special ability to do that. But if we yield to the flesh, and if we go after the flesh, if we follow the things of the world, if we follow the carnal mind, if the love of the world be in you, the love of the Father isn't there. That's why I said at the beginning of our service here that if you love the things of the world, there's no need to lie against the truth and try to make people think that you are a Christian. You're religious, but you still will go to hell. You'll still be put into the fire. Being religious will not save you. Belonging to church will not save you. Shouting and hollering and screaming and speaking in tongues will not save you. The child is known by his doings, and if you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you're going to be about the Father's business. You're going to be the body of the Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're going to walk holy, and you're going to talk holy, and you're going to think holy. And your eyes are going to seek holy things to see, and your ears are going to seek holy things to hear. And you're not going to gossip. You're not going to backbite. You're going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're in Brother Taylor's presence and Sister Linda's presence, you're going to talk one way. And when you get out of that to Brother Pike and Sister Pike, you're going to talk the same way. And when you get off by yourself talking to each other, you're going to talk the same way, because that's a nature with you and that's the kind of person you are. Not like a chameleon. You know, a little chameleon, he'll change on every leaf, on every branch. He gets on that and you can't tell him from whatever he's on, because he changes to be like that. So you got to be born again. Jesus said, first of all, Nicodemus, we've got to understand that this thing is not some kind of head knowledge, he was saying. We've got to come to the place to where we realize that God is a spirit. And they that worship God is going to have to do it with their spirit, because He is a spirit. And that salvation is of the spirit. And that we're going to have to come into a spiritual relationship with God. And in doing this, that we're not going to be this natural exuberance toward, pardon me, a religious thing in life. So with this, not just being in church, but wherever we are a burning light, a blazing light. We are the candle of the Lord. Even our spirit, the Bible said, is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And if you don't keep that candle lit, and if you don't protect that light, I'll come and move your candlestick, which is the candle of life, and you won't be alive anymore. So then we know that we can't just be a religious parasite, a religious hypocrite. It doesn't matter if we fast. The Bible said the Pharisees fasted. The man said, I fast twice a week. That doesn't do any good. And it doesn't matter if you pay your tithes. He said, I pay tithes of all I possess. That didn't do him any good. See, God is the Spirit. God is looking for your spirit to love Him, to adore Him. You know, I've said this so many times, and I said again tonight, my wife washing my socks don't prove nothing to me. Washing my clothing don't prove nothing to me. Cleaning the house up don't prove nothing to me. I want her spirit. I want her spirit. I want her spirit to be one with my spirit. I don't want her cleaning up my house and and looking after me and doing everything that she supposedly is supposed to do as a wife, you know, and then in her heart always whoring after somebody else. Her thoughts always fascinated by somebody else. The lust of the eyes as to the appearance of somebody else or the physique of somebody else. And she doesn't want me to do that because we are joined together by God who has a spirit and our spirit is one. And the Bible said that which God hath joined together, let no man set asunder. See, we are one. And how many hundreds and millions of people in the world today are not like that today? How many millions of people in the world today? The Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way before God. Their spirit is not loyal to their companion spirit. And when it comes to the church people, it's the same way. I was talking to Brother Atlee today, a little illustration. I said, Brother Atlee, I said, you know, this really disturbs me. I said, I'm so grateful for what my brethren are doing down here to my house. I said, this is just outstanding. They work all night long. I said, but there's something that disturbs me. I said, I come into this house and I find nails in boards that's sticking up out of the walls and boards that's laying aside. I said, and nobody backs those nails up and they're dangerous and they pop into people's feet and hands. I've had them do that, both in my hands and my feet. And just heard of a case where one went into a little boy's feet and a foot and they told me I had to amputate. So, and I found out when I come back after getting upset about this, that there was some of our school children that stuck them in their foot, and Frank, he stuck a couple in his feet. And I was really upset in no little way about it. I said, it disturbs me because I taught them not to do that. And we take time when we're in construction work here to have somebody to always back up those nails. I said, I try to be real precision in that because we had some people here that is bad. They stuck nails in their feet, and it really caused a real problem. I said, and another thing, I said, I noticed that in here, this place is completely filled with where they've torn the plaster out, everything piled up in here. And I said, I don't see anybody cleaning it out. I said, I didn't see anybody cleaning this rubbish out of here except Brother Taylor that come in here with a shovel trying to get the stuff out of here. I said, it's all through the house. I said, no one dropped out anything in the house. I said, even when I painted on a job, I said, we always dropped out the tables, everything in the house, hang up a curtain or something to keep it out of the other room. I said, it's in my clothing in the closet. I said, it's in the carpet. I said, it's on the table. I said, it's on the floor covering. I said, it's inside of the piano, not on the top of the piano where we can just wipe it off. I said, it's inside of the piano because I know the sisters will come in there and clean it up, you know, everywhere. I said, the last time they did this, I worked until I was given out just to work on a couple of things in there, trying to clean it up. It's so much dust. My wife did the same thing. I said, it disturbs me. Not because of that. Not because of the natural things. Even though the Bible said that the natural things, a man's substance is precious in his sight if he's wise. Because he wants to use them and utilize them for God. You know, he doesn't just let his house and everything turn into rubbish. He just doesn't let his car run down. And whatever he does, he's not very wise. He doesn't let his yard and his properties become a junkyard. Like in the vision I saw where about two-thirds of the properties here was turned into a junkyard where people just junked up stuff. And, of course, I felt also a lot of spiritual junk that God was dissatisfied with. But I was disturbed for this reason. I said, Atlee, this accounts for the fact that we have not done our job through the years spiritually. And I said, with all the preaching and all of the instruction, I said, we have not done our job spiritually. I said, you see this? I said, I have taught these people this for numbers of years, but they did not incorporate it in their lifestyle nor in their doings. It's not in their activities, their daily doings. I said, it's not there. And I said, you know what? The Lord is only letting us know that that's the same way it is with spiritual things. I've taught them the spiritual things. I said, and that's the same condition of their heart. They haven't taken these things and laid them to heart. And when they get out there, it's the same old rubbish. It's the same old thing. It's the same old devastation. I said, and they don't do anything as to the precision of God to stay holy and godly and pure and clean and to have the mind of Christ and to follow these instructions. And because of that, they're in trouble. I said, that's where the problem is. I said, on the home front, this is the condition of their offices as well as their lives. See, and it was really disturbing to Brother Atlee because he realized that what I was telling him was true. So I just used that little simple illustration because, like I told Brother Atlee, and I'll say this since I've gotten into this little subject. I said, Brother Atlee, I said, there's a lot of people that come to me, brethren. I said, and I can tell their hearts, they just eat their hearts out to the extent that they would like to be part of the world outreach in Bethlehem. And they would like to win souls, and they would like to get in here and go on with me to win souls. I said, but they'll never do that. I said, let's be realistic. They'll never do that. I said, it's too late for them to do that. There's no possible way. No matter how kind they act, how much they try to get in, whatever they do, I said, they'll never do that. I said, some have backed off at one time were great in the hands of God doing great things. And I said, and they backed off because of wanting to go after the world and the things of the world. And they're determined that they're going to do about face and come back. I said, they'll never come back. It'll never be that way. And I said, and you can be thankful, Brother Atlee, that you're not in that category. Because Brother Atlee has, in his early life, he gave his life solely to God to work, to labor, to do what needed to be done here. And though he has his problems, just like I have my problems, but he definitely gave his life without reservation of heart to do what he could do. And as far as I know, it'll never be the day that he'll come in before God to be one of those that can't go in because of failing to labor for God in those things. And I said, you can be grateful, Atlee, that you don't fall into that category. Well, anyway, like I said, this is why that people are in that kind of condition. The Jews fell into that kind of condition. Jesus knew that when he talked to Nicodemus. He knew that. He said, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? That is to say, didn't I tell Moses? And didn't Moses tell the scribes and the Pharisees? Didn't the scribes and the Pharisees tell you? And why is it you don't know it? The reason is because, just like the Constitution of the United States, we can't hardly recognize it anymore. Our fathers, as to Abe Lincoln and to Washington and the different great statesmen, they gave us something great as to fleeing from the old country to get away from the corruption and set up the world's greatest government, which is the American government. But by the time the parasites got in here, by the time Roosevelt had this thing of world union, which I'm not against that because we're all brothers and sisters as to Christ or in Adam, but we're not all brothers and sisters, as we say, in Christ unless we're born again. But we are, generally speaking, but we are all born in Adam. In Adam, all die. And see, we are, as an Adam, heathenistic. And must be born again. And when you put them all together, unless they're born again, then you got two classes of people. And you got a problem. You got a bond child and you got a spiritual child and you got a bond religious child, just like Adam was a religious person. And just like Cain was a religious person and Abel was a religious person. All of these people were religious. See, and you got everything from Confucius right on down to every kind of religion that you can make mention of. You're familiar with it. I think, as I've said, India's got millions of gods. See, and all these gods, see, all these things, you got them mixed up, jammed up together. Roosevelt brought all that together in this world union. And we see it re-strengthened as Mr. Bush come into office. So then we have got a conglomeration of a mess in the world today. And you remember not too long ago when they published that little article and they said that all of the face of the world are coming together. You remember that? Said all of the believers, all of the face of the world are coming together. And I made the statement, I said, that can never be. I said, first of all, it can never be because there's no such thing as all of the face of the world. There is no such thing. The Bible said there's one God, there's one faith, there's one Lord, there's one baptism. There is no such thing as all faith. That is not faith that them people have. That is heathenism. And that is the same as idolatry and the same as witchcraft, because the Bible said to be stubborn or rebellious is the same as idolatry and witchcraft when you rebel against the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people aren't in the faith. Those people are not walking with God. The Bible said, search yourselves, examine yourselves, see if you're in the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. For what I say to one, I say unto all. And see if you're in the faith. See if you're in this faith. For many have departed from the faith and will depart from the faith in the last days, giving heed to devils and seducing spirits and all these kinds of things as the doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There's not a Baptist faith and a Catholic faith and a Confucius faith or a Mohammedan faith or an India faith, or there is not a Pentecostal faith. That's not the thing of God. There's one faith. And that's faith by the hearing of the word of God. And whoever believes the word of God is born again and gets the spirit of the word, because the word is spirit and life, and that is Christ's spirit, because the word was made flesh, which was the Lord Jesus. We beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word was made flesh. That was Jesus. And the spirit of that word comes into our heart crying, Abba, Father. And it comes into us in his name. For salvation being of the Jews, the Bible said it shall begin in Jerusalem, being taught in his name is salvation, and then to the ends of the world. And we're to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin. And if we don't receive it through the name of Jesus Christ, then we'll never even see the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is an invisible thing that is right now present. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. Men press their way into it, or that is to say the inner man presses his way against the outer man, in that there's no good thing within the flesh. Satan dwells within the flesh as to the first birth, and the inner man being born of the Spirit of Christ is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. And one is pressing against the other, and the inner man is pressing his way into the kingdom of God against the outer man, considering the outer man to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not listening to the accusations, nor receiving the things that said contrary to righteousness, but calling those invisible things that are not as though they are, because by the eye of faith, believing in the kingdom of God that is now present, the kingdom of God which we now preach, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And the men pressing against the outer man, then the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give him the revelation, which is the hidden manner of that that's revealed to him from glory to glory on the inside. Some, we're made to realize then that we are already sons of God. We're already God. We've already passed from death unto life. We're already as to the inner man in the kingdom of God. Our spirit is already translated in the spirit of Christ. And the body has nothing to do with it. The body, Satan can never touch us through the body, because the body is dead. The body is buried. The body is gone. And the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus, as to your body, to the world and the sin. And your spirit at death and your body has been buried in water in the name of Jesus. Your spirit went back to God who gave it, interwoven with the spirit of Christ. It is now in the body of Christ that's yonder at the right hand of the Father, as that blood-dipped vesture that will return in Thessalonians when it comes to that change. And when it comes back, that's the head of the body, and all of the members of that body will respond, and the life that's in there will quicken that, as there is something just like that that's in a magnet that's relative to that potential that's in a metal. That is something that is in Christ that is relative to the members of the body. And when that headship comes back, that relativity will begin to do that, and it'll pick it up just like that, and it'll pull all the members to the head. And that'll be the response to the life which will change your body at the resurrection of the dead. So then it's very obvious that we are already sons of God. We've already passed from death unto life. We already have eternal life. We all are already to where we cannot sin, and our body profiteth nothing, not anything at all. It's of the dust. It went back to the dust by Calvary. It's no more in the sight of God. And as it was with Winnie today, it's from the dust. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And if you follow after the body, as to the deeds of the body, as to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the ears, and the lust of the taste buds and the lust of the feel, as to the gullible desires of the flesh and the human reasoning, ye shall die. For if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. So that is, if the love of natural things is in you, the love of spiritual things is not in you, and you're never going to be satisfied with spiritual things, you're never going to have a spiritual hunger, you're always going to have that old gullible, natural, dog and pig-like hunger. Swines and dogs, Jesus said. And you'll always be lapping your own vomit and wallowing in your own mire, going after the things of the world, whether it's money or fashions or whatever it might be. That's the kind of person that you are. You're not both of them. You're only one. One is dead, the other is alive. So then Jesus let everything center around the Spirit. And we could go on all night into deeper and greater and more mightier things as pertaining to the Spirit. But folks, Paul, our apostle, who was the apostle to the Gentile church that went to get a bride for Jesus, said, I would like to speak unto you people as unto spirituals. But seeing that you are bathed in Christ, you're carnal. There's envy, there's strife, there's malice, there's that human desire of the infatuation of these intellectual things as bondage, because you are a bond child in your human thinking as of that old tree of knowledge, and you're relative to the perishable things of the world. So the creature is subject to the vanities of the world and is dependent upon those things for survival as to life. But the inner man that's born again is dependent upon the hidden manner. So when they come to give Jesus something to eat, Jesus said, I have food to eat that ye know not of. He that overcometh, I will give him of the hidden manna. So if you're not spiritual tonight, the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might receive this great, wonderful spirit of revelation, that you might set your affection on things above, not on houses, not on automobiles, not on faces, not on forms, not on feelings, not on infatuations, not as to monetary values of the world or the love of money, but set your affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. So lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. See, so if you don't have the spirit of revelation, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Let's everybody stand together. Are you spiritual tonight? Are you dwelling in heaven tonight? Have you been translated into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? For the Bible said, ye that dwell in heaven rejoice. Is there anybody here that's dwelling in heaven? Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven, being born of his flesh and being his very life, when he, my life, appears, being his very life, and he being my very life, and being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then where am I tonight? Jesus said, the Son of Man, as to that body, the members of that body in particular, said he is in heaven. So then where are you tonight? Well, as the Bible said, you're not of this world, for God has chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And he said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. Do you dwell in heaven? Someone said, well, I know I dwell in heaven. You couldn't possibly dwell in heaven. How could you dwell in heaven? Your mind is constantly on eating and drinking and buying and selling and fashion and money and all these kind of things. And all of your talk is just a religious thing that projects your own preeminence as to a lordship or being something or trying to catch admiration. A lord and over God's people or wanting some kind of preeminence among the people. How could you be in heaven? For he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And the Bible said, he that testified of him that sent him, even us witnessing of Christ, there's no unrighteousness in him. And our very testimony gives us away, and that we say that we're of God, and all we testify of is the natural. All of our desire, all of our conversation. He said, let your conversation be in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Where is your conversation? What a man talks about, that reveals his interest as to what his heart is. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Glad to have you tonight. I'm sure that Winnie tonight would tell you that she was very glad to have been under this ministry. Very thankful that she stayed with this ministry. There's a reward. Hold fast. Don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense and reward. And while we sing this little chorus together, the altars are open if you'd like to come. I read in the Bible that God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their place. And He gave His life on cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see His sweet face. With Him I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvels. Sing that with me. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, pure water jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Day I shall see His sweet face. With Him I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His. Sing it again, friend. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see His sweet face. With Him I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see His feet. And with Him I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous. One more time. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday see His sweet face. With Him we'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for. Love the Lord. Let's sing another chorus or two and we'll let you go. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live under, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us
faithless choice to decide her destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Where will you be? A million years from now. Will you be singing? Will you be happy while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. One more time. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll eternity? I ask this question. Where will you be?
Can we just lift our hands up, close our eyes, and sing this little chorus? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are we ready for the Savior to come? Are we ready for King Jesus to come? Some be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting spotless white, and we're ready for King Jesus to come. Oh, I'm ready for my Savior to come. Oh, I'm ready for my Savior to come. Just be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for my Savior to come. And I will praise Him, and I will praise. Can you praise the Lord? My Lord, for and I'll give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood, it's washed away. Once again, Brother Taylor. So I will praise Him. I will praise the Lamb for sinners. Let me give. Go ahead and ask Brother Pasden to come if he will and dismiss us. While Ron is coming, let's just search our heart. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of the Lord is here tonight. There's liberty. Singing it once again as our brother comes. So I